3/4 of an hour later, the black-clad figure of the general appeared at the glass door to the visitor center. He was hatless, showing a small crown of baldness as he made a mock bow toward the watching group, standing around 60 paces from the doors. His silver-topped cane had vanished, and he looked disheveled and dusty.
Well, I should have known, amigos. Maybe waited for a week or a month in a ghostly labyrinth, and then you would have gone away.
Not in 1,000 years, butcher.
You must be the one who has an interest in that woman. And that little one, I see.
Drop the blaster.
I think not. I thank you for the suggestion, Carter. But I will need it for a short moment or two longer.
Looks like a Smith & Wesson. 745 model, 8-round.
Take him out with the Steyr, Dad.
Jack spun around to face Dean.
No fucking way, kid. I chill him. Nobody else.
Sure, Jack. Sure.
The general watched the exchange with a casual interest.
Dissension in the ranks. It is strange that after all this time I am ended because of a dead baby and a useless crippled woman. Me, like that. For such a trivial and pointless reason. But I am forced to admit that you and your team are very good, Carter. Trader taught well. I had some passing pride in my men and women. Trained them hard, and I thought enough. Yet they have all been sent ahead to the fires of hell. Now I shall be joining them there. But first...
He drew the automatic from its holster.
Get down!
No need.
The general leveled his blaster at the serene sky above him.
Was that 8?
8.
The general stood, legs spread, holding the blaster in his right hand.
One for the money and one for the show is what I believe was once said. One for the baby and another one for the road.
He brought up the Smith & Wesson and placed the muzzle beneath his chin. Jack started to move quickly forward.
It's empty, Jack. He can't...
Goodbye, cruel world!
No!
The general lowered the spent handgun very slowly, seeing the albino closing on him. He threw the weapon into the dirt and opened his arms, like a smiling priest receiving a candidate for benediction.
Yes!
Hide away, Jack!
It was a .32 caliber over and under derringer, hidden in his sleeve.
Damn it!
Ryan waited for the shot, but it never came. In the space of a single heartbeat, Jack threw 2 of his concealed knives. The first knife sliced into the general's right hand, severing the tendons in the wrist, so that the fingers opened spasmodically and the derringer slipped away to the ground. But the blaster hadn't even begun to fall when the second throwing knife struck home. An uncontrollable reflex closed his eyes for a fraction of a second, but the knife cut through the closed lid, driving through the dark pupil. Something streamed down his face, warm, dripping off his chin, and clouds veiled across his mind. Jack watched the man drop slowly to his knees, his hands reaching out blindly in front of him. A pink mixture of blood and aqueous liquid trickled from the taped hilt of the knife that protruded from the socket of his right eye.
For my wife and my baby, you fucking cocksucker.
The general slid forward onto his face and lay still. Jack stooped and retrieved his knives, wiping them on the man's black shirt.
Shame it's so fast.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go home, Jack.
The journey back north was surprisingly free from any major incident, with one notable exception. After some discussion outside the visitor center, it was agreed that all of the animals should simply be let loose.
Navajo's pinto ponies will probably run free and wild.
My horses should find a way home.
Jack looked at the line of animals.
Maybe ride them as a string myself.
Let them go, Jack. Too many two-legged wolves between here and your ranch.
The teenager nodded, smiling.
Guess that's right.
Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, but I do have a small problem with this decision, worthy and wise though it probably is.
Do you want to shoot Judas before we go, Tanner?
Quite the reverse.
Hot pipe, Doc. Why not ride the booger all the way home again?
The old man smiled, a little thinly.
I fear that my altered attitude toward the beast doesn't quite extend to enduring physical suffering, dear boy.
You want Judas to ride along on the wag with the rest of us, Doc? Crowded enough as it is.
No. Say, Jack, do you think the wretched beast will be able to find its own way home again without harm or hindrance?
Doc, you know any living thing stop Judas doing what he wants?
No, I believe not.
So, he'll make it.
The sun shone as they rattled northward, out of the hills by the Grandee, into the New Mexico desert. They were about 40 miles away from Jack's spread. Jack sat perched astride the long barrel of the 25mm Bushmaster cannon.
There's a small ville, a dozen miles east.
Water there?
Yeah. Called Patriarch. Friendly.
The township of Patriarch was a dozen houses, with the clabbered ruin of a church and a single store. The arrival of the clattering wag brought out the whole population, which seemed to consist of an immensely tall and powerful black man and his white wife, along with what looked like two or three dozen children of varying ages.
Can see why the place is called Patriarch. It looks like they're trying to repopulate the entire southern plains on their own.
There are worse ways to go.
The man, Fred Zero, greeted the companions warmly.
Haven't had so many strangers in many a long week. Got a pack man from up north standing night is all.
Ryan looked down at his absurdly elongated shadow. Another half hour and it was going to be night.
Enough beds for us?
Sure, the more the merrier.
Ryan rose early and walked down to find Fred Zero's pretty wife Penny preparing breakfast in a huge iron skillet.
Hash browns, eggs over easy, and some home-cured ham. How's that sound?
Sounds like I've died and gone straight to heaven.
Go on through. Pac-Man's just finishing and getting ready to hit the highway.
A scruffy-looking trader was sitting at a small table, smoking a noxious cigar. As Ryan came in, he looked up.
Sorry about the smoke, friend. I'll put it right out so you can enjoy the fine food that the lady of the house provides.
Thanks.
Name's Kenny Friedman. I cover the whole of Deathlands and offer a range of... Hey, just wait a gosh darn moment there, my friend.
Something wrong?
Your name wouldn't be Ryan Carter, would it, friend?
Could be.
Traveling with a redhead and a kid and an old man and... Hallelujah, but I hit the pay dirt.
How come you know me?
I got a note for you.
From?
Couple of really mean... But I guess I might be wrong, Mr. Carter, seeing as how they're likely friends. One was small and skinny with a long mustache. Other was older and sort of scary.
Ryan nodded. His mind flooded with the news. Abe had done it. He'd damned well done it. The piece of paper was crumpled and stained, but still totally legible.
Success. We'll stay around Seattle for 3 months. Come quick, Abe.
How long ago were you given this?
Friedman wrinkled his face, counting back on his fingers.
Well, let me see. Great Lakes was Missoula, Billings, Butte. Then I stayed a couple days with... Right, I got it. Give or take a day or so. Must have been up in the northwest by the sea. About 6 weeks ago from now.
6 weeks. Leaves us another 6 weeks. Thanks, friend. Thanks.
Not a problem. My pleasure, Mr. Carter.
Two of the graves were large, the middle one much smaller. All three lay in shade, beneath a wall of red rock that rose vertically and vanished into the deep blue of the morning sky. It was a place of great quietness. Ryan opened his eye and looked up into the still air, watching the ghostly shadow of the large white egret floating past, high above him. Christy stood with her back to him, looking down at the three markers. Ryan sat up, and she turned. He could see tears glistening on her cheek.
I'm sorry, lover.
I know. We've done all the talking there is. I'm talked out, Ryan.
I have to go.
Sure.
Can't make it with a jump. There's no control. We have to travel on foot. Start with a wag and see if we can get gas. If we can, then it shouldn't take more than a few days.
Christy wiped angrily at her eyes.
A few days, Ryan. A few days? How far is it?
About 1,500 miles up to Seattle. If the wag holds and the creeks don't rise, we can be there in under a week. Find Trader and Abe and get back here in the same sort of time. Call it a total of 3 weeks.
Call it forever, Ryan.
Ryan shook his head. joining her in front of the graves, staring at the carved names. Christina Lauren, beloved wife of Jack and mother of Jenny, murdered. Jenny Lauren, dear daughter of Jack and Christina, murdered. Michael Brother, good friend from another time. The faint scent of sagebrush came drifting up from the mouth of the canyon. Ryan put a hand on Christy's shoulder, half expecting her to shrug it away. But she let it lie there, not moving. Not moving closer.
JB, you keep an eye on me. You know that, babe.
She continued to look away from Ryan.
I told you. Talked right out.
An elegant yucca towered near them, its pearly white flowers clustered in a long spike. A chamisa and tamarisk were a little farther away. When they had first buried Christina, Jenny, and Michael, a scant few days earlier, it had occurred to Ryan Cotter that this must be one of the most beautiful places in all the world to pass the remainder of eternity. Now there had been so many more deaths, all linked to the paying of the blood debt.
You're still leaving at dawn?
Yes, we are. Food and ammo. We've got a last night together.
That turned her around, her emerald eyes like blank pools, ice-covered. She pushed away his hand, as though it were an offensive insect.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. I can hardly wait for this last night together you tell me we got. I can't wait for the last time you touch me and kiss me and enter me. Every single thing you do tonight is going to make me more and more aware of its being the last time. Can't you... God, can't you see, Ryan, what you're fucking well doing to me?
I'm sorry. I have to do this. Trader was the man who raised me and then made me the man I am. Maybe you should think that whatever love you have for me is owed a little to the traitor. I can't change that. I can't just wipe all my memories away.
I know that.
Christy closed her eyes.
Oh, I feel bone weary, lover. Part of it's selfish. I wanted these quiet days together here, and you robbed me of them.
He leaned down and hesitated. But Christy responded, lifting her face to him. Their lips met in the familiar, gentle kiss of two people in love.
I really am sorry.
I know you are. It'll pass. Everything passes in the end, Ryan.
We're gonna walk back to the house and join the others? Should be some supper there.
Thinking about your stomach.
She smiled up at him.
Eat well. It could be the last good meal for a while.
JB cooks a terrific dead snake pie.
They stood close, holding hands, looking one final time at the trio of graves.
So long, Christina. Bye, Jenny. Sleep in peace, Michael.
Amen.
Deathlands Writer Reaper is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2007 The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, Casey Jones, David Coyne, Sonny Lasky, Tim Carlin, Bruce Rauscher, Kate Torrey, James Lewis, Ken Jackson, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton and Christian Parent. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Johann Detweiler, and Matt Webb. St. James Infirmary performed by Colleen Delaney and Johann Detweiler. Script adapted for graphic audio by Gerald Rudolph. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for the first episode of Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator.